in establishing what could turn into a tangible plan to end the occupation of the Holy Land. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
The International Quds Day this year comes following Israel's airstrike on the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus that killed 7 Iranian military officers. This latest Israeli attack, together with over 6 months of regime's genocide in Gaza, prompted thousands of Iranians to pour into the streets across the country to mark Quds Day.
Recently, there was an incident in which we were all heartbroken and devastated, as 2 of the top Iranian generals were killed and our country's embassy was air targeted. This act was against international and human rights law. As an Iranian and a Jew, we condemn this issue.
Quds Day is commemorated all over the world on the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a day of international solidarity with the Palestinian people. Just like previous years, the Iranian Jew community also joined other protesters to express their support for Palestinians in Gaza. This community believes that the United Nations and the Western countries have been totally inactive over the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip.
We are not anti-Semites, but we are anti-crime, we are anti-killing, and in one word, we are anti-Zionists. And we live in peace with each other in Iran, with Jews, but we don't have any problem with Jews. We have problem with genocide, with killing, with Zionists.
We send a message to all young and free people around the world that humanity is in danger today. Hear our voice, our belief and our goal, down with Israel.
This year, the International Quds Day comes amid the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Israel has cut off fuel, electricity, food and water to Palestinians living in the besieged territory.
Iranians once again resonated voices of solidarity with Palestinians on International Quds Day and also strongly condemned the recent criminal acts of the Israeli regime leading to the martyrdom of 2 senior Iranian military personnel. When it comes to violation of human rights, nobody can stay silent. Fateh Masumi, Tehran.
Thousands flooded the streets across Pakistan to denounce the United States and Israel for their war crimes in Gaza.
The US is a terrorist state. Israel is a terrorist regime. They are spreading terrorism against innocent men, women, and children in Gaza through their relentless attacks. The US and Israel are using their military might to systematically oppress and kill innocent Palestinians in Gaza.
Protesters marking Quds Day voiced their unwavering solidarity with the Palestinian people in their struggle against the Israeli occupation.
Israel is a fascist and illegitimate regime that is committing war crimes in Gaza by killing innocent men, women and children on daily basis. The end of Israel is necessary to maintain peace in the world.
Amid chants condemning Israel and the United States, speakers criticized what they called the criminal silence of the world on Israel's war crimes in Gaza.
We demand from the governments, from the Muslim governments, especially the government of Pakistan, to take practical actions. Just lip service is not enough. Just passing resolutions is not enough. Governments should take practical steps for the security of the people of Gaza.
Quds Day is an annual event observed on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan across the world to express solidarity with the Palestinians.
International Quds Day rallies in Pakistan are a manifestation of a solidarity with the Palestinians. The rallies are also a show of unity among Muslims worldwide. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Thank you. Under the title Flood of the Free, thousands of Syrians and Palestinians, along with regional resistance forces, rallied in the Yarmouk Palestinian refugee camp in Damascus to commemorate International Quds Day. A joint military parade was organized by the Palestinian resistance as a message of strength and determination.
The commemoration of International Quds Day this year comes after Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, which constituted a strategic shift in the war against the Zionist enemy. It also comes amid the legendary resilience in the Gaza Strip, under the devastating onslaught and the cohesion among all resistance movements participating in this operation.
The Yarmouk camp has witnessed violent battles against terrorism. And today, from the same liberated camp, Syria, Iran, Hezbollah, and Palestine vow to keep fighting until the liberation of all occupied territories from the grip of the Israeli terrorist regime and its sponsors. After the military parade, speeches were delivered by representatives of resistance movements.
Today we commemorate International Quds Day, which coincides with the ongoing Israel attacks for the past 6 months on our Palestinian people in Gaza, resulting in a significant number of martyrs and wounded, mostly women and children. The resistance continues and will prevail, and we confirm our absolute support for the resistance both logistically and politically.
Representatives of the resistance praised the profound strategic vision of the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, who declared the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day. They say this vision was the cornerstone of the resistance front alliance with Palestine as its compass.
This is not from today. Since 1979, Imam Khomeini set this day for us to gather every year to the support of Palestine, liberation of Palestine from river to the sea, and also for the support for all the oppressed people all over the world.
Quds Day has proven to be more than just a celebratory occasion. It is a day that unifies people and brings them together around the Palestinian cause.
The crowds that gathered in solidarity with Gaza to commemorate this day have proven the wisdom of the Islamic Revolution in Iran by establishing an international day for Al-Quds as a constant reminder for the Palestinian cause. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Thousands of protesters have flocked to central London on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan to honour the call of International Quds Day. The annual event was established by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1979 to express solidarity with the Palestinians and inculcate a Muslim-led opposition to Zionism.
With the ongoing genocide in Gaza unfolding before the world's eyes, this year's protest has taken on extra significance and emotion. It's because people are standing up to a Zionist supremacist entity which has thus far murdered over 33,000 people while still not being able to destroy the capabilities of the resistance.
Due to its popularity, many attempts have been made by pro-Israel groups to ban the Al-Quds rally. And this year, these lobbying efforts fall within the wider context of Zionists and their agents at the top of government trying to get all Palestine marches banned since last October. Efforts that have thus far been resisted by police and other elements within the establishment. Those on the march steadfastly reject any attempts to ban it.
It's very contradictory in a country that promotes freedom of speech around the world, human rights and democracy around the world. They want to stop people from protesting, not only these issues, but many other issues. And it's our duty as citizens of this country and the West to continue supporting through democratic means and protest the cause of Palestine.
When you look at the counter-demonstrators, they're a hopscotch of people, Zionists, far-right, British nationalists and so on and so forth, extreme-right, nasty elements of British society. They're all on that side. So if you want to ban anyone, ban that lot. We're very representative of British society, especially London society. We're white, black, green, brown, every religion, every colour you can imagine, we're all here.
I'm here to show solidarity with the people in Gaza especially who are suffering genocide, and also show solidarity with our brothers and sisters of all faiths and none who are calling upon our government to uphold international law.
The people of Gaza have won the admiration of the world with their steadfastness against this unprecedented genocide, but as they stand on the brink of a deliberate famine engineered by the Zionist entity, it has scarcely been as important for the voice of the world at rallies like Al-Quds Day to shout loudly for justice and liberation for Palestine. Issa Kadhimi, London.
Down with America, down with Israel. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. These were some of the slogans that reverberated across Indian-administered Kashmir to commemorate the International Quds Day. Thousands of people, including women and children, poured onto the streets across the region after Friday prayer in a show of solidarity with Palestinians. Holding banners and placards, the protesters condemned Israel's war crimes committed against Palestinians in Gaza Strip.
6 months of war has seen unprecedented destruction in Gaza, where houses have been knocked down and hospitals bombed. Thousands of children have been killed, relief workers attacked. The onslaught on Palestinians has shaken the conscience of humanity. This wanton killing and destruction must stop.
People cutting across religious divide have come out today to condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza. Innocent children are being killed every day. It's high time Muslim world and those who believe in humanity unite against Israel's atrocities.
The protesters denounced what they called the criminal silence of the international community over the mass killings of Palestinians. They also condemned Israeli deadly airstrikes on Iranian embassy's consular building in Syria. Since Israeli regime began its onslaught on October 7, more than 33,000 people have been killed.
I want to call on international community to play their critical role in getting Palestinians their inalienable right to life. Also, I call on the religious class of the world, including Pope Francis, that humanitarian ceasefire should be implemented in the occupied territory of Gaza and Palestinians should be given unrestricted access to the life-saving aid. And I call on Palestinian people that not only the day of Quds, we are with you every day, and call on that we will stand with you by thick and by thin.
The protesters also urged the Indian government to intervene and help restore peace in Gaza. Ever since the founder of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, declared last Friday of Ramadan as International Quds Day, every year millions of people across the world take to the streets on this day to remind people of the Palestinian cause.
As part of International Quds Day, people here in Kashmir have held rallies to express solidarity with the people of Palestine amid the genocidal onslaught in Gaza. The protesters called on the international community to break its silence and unite against Israel. Said Ali Safir, Indian administered Kashmir.
Tempers are running high in Pakistan over Israel's onslaught in Gaza. In a dramatic incident, a KFC restaurant in Pakistan-administered Kashmir was set ablaze during an anti-US-Israel protest. Following the incident, police detained over 50 individuals who were accused of attacking the restaurant in the Mirpur district.
We do not support the burning of KFC, but we want to boycott it as it is in support of genocide. We stand with boycott and we do boycott. We do not want them, we just want them not to fund Israel and help them in their genocide.
The arson comes as US-Israeli genocide in Gaza shows no signs of abating. The regime's attacks on all areas of the besieged territory, including hospitals, schools and aid convoys, continue.
We are already seeing the impact on the economy, on the financial decline of McDonald's and boycott. It's huge. Even in some countries, in Arab countries, those outlets are being closed because nobody is buying it.
Free! Free!
The ongoing genocide in Gaza has fueled anger and frustration among people worldwide, prompting calls for boycotts against entities believed to support Israel financially or politically.
Boycott is something that we are, this is what we feel from our heart, from inside, that we don't want to support their economy. We don't want to support the companies that are supporting the Israeli soldiers. So, for that, we need to boycott. I know this is not a permanent solution, but we have to boycott.
Authorities are now faced with the challenge of managing the fallout from the incident and preventing further escalation of tensions.
As tempers run high in Pakistan due to the call for boycotting pro-US and pro-Israeli brands, the targeted destruction of a KFC restaurant represents a symbolic reaction of the people, both locally and globally, against US-Israeli genocide in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Islamabad.
Israel.
Israeli newspaper Maariv published an article saying Turkey is seeking to enhance relations with Israel. Turkish Agency for Combating Disinformation denied the claims in a statement. The agency said the claim in the Israeli media that senior Turkish officials sent a message saying "We want to improve relations with Israel" is not true. Turkey said its temporary charged affair of Turkish embassy to Tel Aviv was summoned on the 25th of March, and that claims by Israeli media that Ankara proposed that the two countries' ambassadors return mutually is not correct. The thing that forced Ömer Çelik, AK Party spokesperson, to point out Israeli crimes in a statement to assure that his government stands against what Israel is doing.
The dead human bodies and corpses found around the Shifa Hospital in Gaza once again clearly showed the genocide committed by Israel. It is necessary to implement the ceasefire decision in the Gaza Strip.
This subject has been considered sensitive for Turkey, especially after the ruling party lost the local election. Many analysts suggested one of the reasons was the AKP government not fully cutting ties with Israel. Many voters left notes on electoral papers such as, "You sold Gaza, we will sell you as well. And we will not vote for a government that does not cut trade with Israel."
"I am studying in the UK, but I came back here to cast my vote because I strongly oppose trading with Israel and want it to stop. I actively participate in rallies in the UK and personally boycott companies and products that support Israel. I believe that every penny spent on these entities translates into bullets that target Palestinians. And I am committed to taking action to support their cause."
Overall, trading with other countries is generally acceptable. However, considering the recent aggression on Gaza, Israel has demonstrated a disregard for international laws. Therefore, I believe that trade should be temporarily halted and all ports closed to convey to Israel the gravity of its actions. Israel's persistent aggression, disregard for United Nations resolutions and human rights, and obstructions of aid delivery necessitate a strong response. Turkey provides essential materials to Israel, such as copper, cement, iron, and food. Therefore, if Turkey were to halt trade, Israel might retaliate in kind.
Turkish citizens have been taking to the streets since the beginning of the aggression on Gaza, demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. They have also called on the government to sever all ties with Israel. Analysts say the public want to send messages to the president through rallies and social media campaigns. However, it seems Erdogan is turning a deaf ear to their calls for action. Erdogan, who tried to contain his people with the pro-Palestinian rallies and slogans, now finds himself not only criticized for double standards, but also grappled with losses in local elections. Rahşan Saglam, Istanbul.
This is IOIB English Radio.
IOIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
The All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limit of describing Him, intellects fail before the core of knowing him. Terrans fall low in awe of him. Faces are humbled in fear of him, and everything mighty yields to his mightiness. So to thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may his blessings be upon his messenger endlessly, and his salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for thee. I ask thee concerning the complaints of thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask thee, O he who owns all objects of need which are granted by his will and hastened to his desire, that thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that thou willst, and givest me mercy from thee. Forgiveness decreases thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee: the facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, 6 months have passed and the Israeli genocide against Palestinians has not stopped in Gaza. However, as the regime continues its brutality, more and more people around the world are taking to the streets to protest against the Zionist entity. On Friday, International Quds Day, millions of people have participated in rallies and demonstrations across the world calling for an end to the regime's Holocaust and an end to the occupation. Is the Israeli regime looking at a different reality as it continues to lose the narrative against world opinion? I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Jamal Joaquin, Professor of International Relations, Lebanese University out of Beirut. And Peter Ford, former British ambassador to Syria out of Manchester. Welcome, both of you, to the program. I'd like to start it off in Beirut. Jamal, Imam Khomeini proclaimed International Quds Day to protest against the Zionist regime on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan 45 years ago. Your thoughts on the importance and the effects of that move?
I believe that that move was very important as a day to world, not only the Muslim world, but also the whole world behind the Palestinian cause in support of the claims of the Palestinian people for their national rights and for their dignity. So this is how important, because this day has become a landmark in the history of the Palestinian people and the history of all the people who support the Palestinian cause.
Well, Peter, in 1979, when Imam Khomeini was exposing the Israeli regime, many people, especially in the West, could not understand what he was saying when he talked about the entity being a cancer which could spread if not stop. And today, not only in West Asia, but around the world, many people are saying the same as he said. And I want to talk about this transition and the importance of that, this growing awareness that is taking place, especially in the West.
It's happening from the ground up, from the popular level up to the elites. We've seen this particularly in just in the last few days after the murders of the seven Western aid workers. Now even the elites are taking notice and having been indifferent to the murders of about 200 Palestinian aid workers, now that a handful of Westerners have been murdered, they're becoming, the elites, more responsive to popular opinion as expressed in the many, many marches which have taken place in Britain and other Western countries just 8 days ago in London. Over 200,000 people marched, and these marches have been regular occurrences over 7 months. The people are not losing their level of anger, indignation not only against Israel, but against their own government and against the elites. Now the elites, particularly after the murder of some of our own, I believe there were three British killed. Even the elites now have changed their tone, and it's now becoming possible to talk about applying an arms embargo to Israel.
Well, let me just pick up right there with you, stay with you, Peter, for a minute, because you talked about the aid workers and the situation, and now, as you say, even the elite are paying attention. I mean, what does that mean, on the other hand? We're talking about over 33,000 people, Palestinians, being killed. And the attention that they showed was very different compared to what has happened since these seven individuals, these Westerners, have been killed. I mean, is this not mind-boggling in itself? I mean, your take on this.
Yes, it's outrageous in itself. The Western elites have been so indifferent to Palestinian suffering. And this is partly because that across the Western world, the elites, governments, and opposition parties have been complicit in the indifference. They have tried to ignore popular pressure. They never participate in the marches. But now, with the passage of time, with the accumulation of Israeli atrocities, murders, even the elites are having to change their tune. To some degree, there is still a hard right, which is very pro-Israeli and which continues to make excuses for Israel.
Right. Well, Jamal, since October 7th, there have been many protests that we've been talking about, supporting the Palestinians and standing against genocide. Your overall assessment of the effects of these protests, because from the very beginning there have been protests and they are growing. How effective at the end of the day do you think they are?
Well, too bad. I don't think that they are effective as long as they don't impact the decision process in the West, mainly in the West, and especially in the United States. Because we know that based on previous experiences, for example, this widespread demonstration against the involvement of the Western countries in wars or their support to Israel's wars was never hindered by these protests, as long as they are not channeled through lobbies, through pressure groups that could have an impact on the political decision makers. And too bad, the anti-Zionist and anti-establishment forces and parties in the West are very weak. Of course, in the rest of the world, too bad that popular stance is even weaker, despite the feelings of sympathy towards the Palestinian people. So that's why I don't believe that these demonstrations would hinder or would affect much the support of Western governments to Israel.
Well, Peter, I mean, there is a growing gap between the people of the world and their governments regarding the Palestinian issue. Do you think that increasingly people are awakening to their own government's complicity regarding their crimes against Palestinians? And how do you think that this will play itself out in the long run?
Yes, particularly just in the last several days with the murders of the three British aid workers, possibly by the Israelis using British weapons. Suddenly, this is a new dimension of the conflict for British public opinion to digest. And this is causing problems for the government. The British government now appears to be divided about whether to impose an arms embargo on Israel. It's the direct involvement of our own nationals has changed to some extent the terms of the debate. But I agree that over the months, the many very large demonstrations have not had much, if any, visible impact on the behavior of our governments. But we're approaching election season, especially in America, where I think that the Democrats do feel pressure from the street, less so perhaps in Europe, but in America one sees even prominent Democrat politicians, Democrat Party politicians like Nancy Pelosi now coming out in favor of an arms embargo. Something has happened.
Right, yeah, indeed. Well, Jamal, do you think we are transitioning to a world which is more aware of the overall reality about the Israeli regime and also what the Palestinian people have endured for 75 years? And how might this all manifest itself?
Well, I believe that the world has always been aware of the situation in which the Palestinian people live. However, it was always the bias of this world, especially Western governments towards Israel, that hindered any possibility to give the Palestinians their rights.
Well, let me just jump in here. I mean, being an American myself, the reality is that so many Westerners really did not know the reality of the Palestinian situation. I know it's quite unbelievable, and we have seen since October 7th, so many people are saying we had no idea because of the mainstream media and how it has controlled the narrative all these years. And I know it's very difficult for a lot of people, especially on this side of the world, to even fathom, but the reality is that the majority of them, or so many of them, really did not know the reality of the situation between Palestine and the Israeli regime. Israel has been propped up as this democratic state, the only democratic state in the area, and of course the military, the most moral in the world, and that's what American kids and British kids have been taught. And now we're seeing a different reality. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry to say that, but I don't think so. When a time in the mid-70s, when Zionism was declared similar to Nazism as a Zionist, as a racist movement, and this ended actually in the 1990s. So the thing is that this is something that goes much beyond misinformation. It goes much further, and we need to understand the integral relationship that binds Israel and Zionist ideology to that of the establishment in the United States, especially when we talk about Christian Zionism. So I don't think that it's a matter of misinformation, but I think that things are changing, not because the Western governments are changing, but mainly because the Western powers are losing their edge in global affairs to the favor of rising powers such as Russia, China, Iran, South Africa, and other powers. So the world is shifting from an international order under Western and mainly U.S. hegemony into a multipolar world. And I think that this would give the opportunity for the Palestinian people to benefit from this margin of contradiction between these superpowers in order to promote their own rights. And but I don't think that it's a matter of misinformation that made the Western public opinion and Western governments feel, let's say, more lenient towards supporting Israel.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Right. Well, definitely not Western governments. I mean, Peter, your thoughts, because I saw that you wanted to say something on that. Go ahead.
Well, we have to take into account that much of the media in Europe, certainly in Britain, is controlled by the Friends of Israel. And the newspaper which is most read in this country, the Daily Mail, is rabidly, crazily pro-Israeli. Just today, they published an article by the former foreign minister, Boris Johnson, saying that Hamas had to be defeated because Israel was defending Western civilization. Those are the very racist terms of the debate conducted in the British media. So there is also naked corruption and self-interest involved here. The Israeli lobby pay very well, and they're working in fertile ground, the grounds of white racism.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's an interesting thought when it talks about basically an extension or protecting Western civilization. Then that would be questionable. Then what is Western civilization if the Israeli regime is a symbol of it? That's a pity indeed. Well, Jamal, I mean, we've reached the end of the month of Ramadan, and before it started, there were talks about a ceasefire at least for this month, but it never happened. Do you think that we'll be seeing a ceasefire anytime soon?
Well, I don't think that we might see a ceasefire soon, as long as the United States supports Israel in its attempt to reach a sort of victory against the Palestinian resistance movement, which is very hard to by the Israelis. And that's why they are reverting to targeting civilians and killing tens of thousands of them, not to forget about the tens of thousands of injured Palestinians. So as far as we have the support by the U.S., I think that we might not reach a deal. But it seems that there are some signs that the Israelis are backing down on some of their conditions to reach a lasting truce with the Palestinians. We need to wait and see where these indirect negotiations going on in Qatar and sponsored by Qatar and Egypt on behalf of the Emirates would go.
Peter, UN Humanitarian Chief Martin Griffiths calls what Israel is doing in Gaza a betrayal of humanity. What does that mean, and what is supposed to happen now with that statement coming from this UN Humanitarian Chief?
Well, we may not have yet seen the worst, unfortunately. I believe the Israeli plan may be to allow food now to go back into the north of Gaza and then try to push the Palestinians penned at the moment up in Rafah to they will try, as they've stated they want to do, to empty Rafah so that the Israelis can then perform the atrocities that they want to in that remaining area of Gaza, and Palestinians would then be herded like sheep, like cattle, into northern Gaza. And this operation could take still several months. That is the worst scenario. And if there's one lesson we've learned over the 7 months, it is to, unfortunately, expect the worst.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jamal, in your perspective, is there anything besides resistance that can bring this genocide and all the Israeli atrocities against the Palestinian people to an end?
Well, too bad. Based on my personal experience living in Lebanon and witnessing all these atrocities and aggressions by Israel against the Palestinian people, the Lebanese people, and other Arab peoples, I don't think that there is an alternative way but to take up arms and fight against Israel. The Arabs counted on peace negotiations during the 1990s. It reached nowhere with Israel except for sacrificing more and more Arab rights. And I believe that the struggle with Israel will last for decades to come. There is no compromise in this regard. And, of course, we will see more and more suffering by the Palestinian people and by the Arab people in general.
And Peter, your thoughts, the same question. Is there another way out, a political way, diplomatic way? Is there any other way out except for resistance at this point in time?
Frankly, no. I have to be honest. As a diplomat, I instinctively would like to think that there was a political way out, but experience of more than two decades of pursuing the illusion of the Middle East peace process teaches us that Israel will never make any meaningful concessions, and that therefore it is virtually inevitable that Israel will create conditions for the continuation of armed resistance. They leave no other option open to the Palestinians. But when the dust settles over Gaza, I think the situation will, the day after, will look like the day before, that we will be left with a Hamas government in Gaza, a lot of destruction, but the United Nations and others will step in to rebuild Gaza, and things will go on much as before.
Well, let's hope for the total freedom of Palestine, Palestinians all over that land. Thank you both for being with me on the spotlight. Jamal Joachim, Professor of International Relations, Lebanese University, Beirut. Peter Ford, former British Ambassador to Syria, out of Manchester. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and other group right here in Tehran. Goodbye.
From east to west, throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
Through both their statements and their silence, leading European thinkers have exposed Western racism. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East I wrote, En Berara is an Israeli expression that is used to depict the persistent destruction, ethnic cleansing, and now genocide of indigenous Palestinians as acts of self-defense for which there is no alternative. The International Court of Justice recently affirmed the real and imminent risk arising from South Africa's allegations that the Zionist regime is committing genocide in Gaza. This did not unfold in a vacuum. Such outcomes are inherent to the settler colonial structure of elimination imposed on Palestine by Euro-American imperialism. As detailed in South Africa's application to the ICJ, decades of Israeli colonialism led to the state reaching its genocidal moment. In 2006, Patrick Wolf, a distinguished scholar of settler colonialism, considered genocide to be plausible in Palestine. He saw compelling indications of genocidal dynamics through the Zionist regime holding the Palestinian population captive in the occupied West Bank and Gaza. Although universally recognized as the crime of all crimes, genocide represents just one of many atrocious manifestations of settler colonial violence, which is leveraged to seize land and dispossess indigenous owners. There is an army of not just troops, but also philosophers, ethicist who moralize and justify colonialism as acts of embrera or no choice. This notion is deeply entrenched in Euro-modern colonial knowledge, which has criminalized and deprived colonized peoples of ontological resistance so that their souls, psyches, and identities can be reshaped to suit the colonizers' schemes, as Franz Fanon reminds us in Black Skin, White Masks. This mechanism of self-vindication denies colonized people the rights to self-defense and resistance to preserve and reclaim their humanity. Instead, it transfers guilt onto the victims. The Spanish conquistadors considered the deaths and calamities they inflicted on the indigenous peoples of South America as their own fault for standing in the invaders' way. Philosopher George Hegel asserted that Africans were guilty because of their innate contempt for humanity, which made them susceptible to being shot down by thousands in war with Europeans. Similarly, the Zionist regime holds Palestinians condemnable for having forced Zionist settlers to kill them, as suggested by former Zionist regime Prime Minister Golda Meir. In the 21st century, leading European thinkers associated with the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory insist on reminding us of the indivisibility of European modern ethics and coloniality. Jürgen Habermas, a prominent European philosopher, and others expressed solidarity with the Zionist regime in mid-November while genocide was clearly unfolding in Gaza. Habermas based his stance on the contrived accusation that the resistance group Hamas intends to eliminate Jewish life in general, implying that the Zionist regime had no choice but to retaliate in the manner it has. The resistance group Hamas, which is proscribed as a terrorist group in the UK and other Western regimes, has on several occasions affirmed that it does not wage a struggle against the Jews because they are Jewish, but wage a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. Other critical philosophers, including Celia Benhabib, have echoed the Zionist regime's allegations on the killings of babies, burning people alive, and ritual murder, which have been debunked as fabricated propaganda. Truth, facts, proof, objectivity, context, and history apparently have no place when Euro-colonial interests are at stake. Amid the clamor of dehumanization, Palestinians, like all colonized people, have been stripped of their rights on the ontological resistance and self-defense. Palestinian life has come into conflict with white supremacy and the West's desire to atone for its own anti-Semitism and the genocide of European Jews. Consequently, Palestinians have become the embodiment of the damned of the earth of the 21st century, literally forced out through genocide and ethnic cleansing. Both Palestinians and Jews were singled out in the statement by Habermas and his colleagues. While the latter were deemed worthy of special protection, the former was silenced and removed from the sphere of human dignity and concerns about the democratic ethos of the West. This represents two faces of the same racist and dehumanizing idea that has historically pitted supposedly inferior groups, including Jews and Muslims, designated as Semitic peoples against the self-declared superior European Aryan race. Evil might have changed its form, but not its racist essence. Palestine is the ethical battleground of our time, where the racism inherent in Euro-modern colonial knowledge is dissected, exposed, and resisted. This knowledge system, whether by justification or through silence, echoes the historical pattern of colonial atrocities across the global South, including the unfolding genocide in Palestine. In this light, as eloquently articulated by ethics professor Wael Hallaq, the Palestinian experience of colonial life and death encapsulates the global issue of ethics and knowledge.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire kill scores more civilians in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide nears